plugged in, polarized, fist raised in anger, staring down, don't meet the eyes. Everyone's a stranger, don't look at me, can't you see? I don't wanna talk to you. I'm plugged into the world, I'm wired, wired but disconnected.
Hi there, listeners, and welcome to the 12th episode of Snug Sound, a podcast for Wi-Fi hopping, coffee sipping mobile workers everywhere. I'm Sam Sharma, and I've just had a lovely chat with Carmela Suthers, who's a consultant and author of a brand new book all about managing your virtual boss.
I've seen the world through my screen, I've traveled it with my fingers.
Snug Sound is produced by WorkSnug in association with Plantronics, simply smarter communications. Find out more at plantronics.com. On the line with me now is an expert in managing mobile workers, Carmela Suthers. Carmela's written a book, Managing Your Virtual Boss, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the ways you can make virtual work work for you. Hi, Carmela, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Nice to talk with you, Sam.
Really good to talk with you. I really enjoyed reading your book. It touched upon so many issues facing mobile workers like me, and you talk a lot in the book about a win-win philosophy, that being key to making a virtual work relationship work. So, Carmela, could you just explain to our listeners what you mean by that?
Sure, I'll be happy to. So, I think the concept of win-win philosophy is really about starting from the assumption that you and your boss both recognize that if you succeed, it makes your boss look good. And if your boss succeeds, you're more likely to get support for your efforts, which in turn will make you more successful. So win-win has to be a philosophy that you share with your leader. Mm-hmm. You know, countless studies of teachers in schools show that humans, well, they live either up or down to our expectations. So assuming the best really increases your chances for success. So if you can discuss with your boss, get aligned with your boss, I want you to be successful, you want me to be successful, we both win, is really the best philosophy. That's my opinion.
Okay. There's a lot in the book about managing up to your boss to improve that relationship and make it a win-win one. But do you think there needs to be a more formal kind of leadership training for bosses that are maybe new to managing remote workers?
There's a huge need, yes, indeed, for updated leadership training for those who lead virtual workers. You know, many of the skills that leaders are taught are designed for working face to face. They're taught things like manage by walking around and check in with your people in the morning to see how they're doing. And when you're having performance evaluation discussions, come around your desk. You know, there's lots of really great hints, but they're simply irrelevant in a virtual environment.
Sure.
It's a much larger transition, I think, than most of us realize to be able to lead individuals working virtually. And perhaps particularly because many virtual leaders are really not as effective as they'd like to be, those who work virtually really need to take the lead in the relationship with their boss. It's so normal for individual workers to feel, well, stymied by isolation, disengagement, lack of visibility. All of those things will impact your career growth. So there's a tremendous need for updated leadership training. In my experience, not that many leaders get great training. Mm-hmm. So as an individual worker, you really have to kind of take the lead yourself.
In the meantime, Carmela, there are some things that are actually easier, I guess, when you're a virtual worker. So give us some examples about how positive relationships are actually easier to build virtually.
Well, I love working virtually myself. My boss is 3,000 miles away from me. No one's going to pop into the office. And everyone has bad days. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you just didn't sleep well. You just don't feel like putting up with other people's odd ways.
Yeah.
The great thing about working virtually is that you have so much more choice about how you appear to people. You can Skype with your photograph instead of a streaming video.
Yeah.
You can take time to double check your emails. You can check your tone of voice so that you appear cheerful. Those kinds of things make a difference in our relationships with people, and we can be more deliberate. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel good, you can wait a little bit and return the phone call instead of answering it. So I think in some ways we can put our best foot or face forward when we're working virtually.
Yeah. So you can always be your best self. And I think that's quite an appealing quality. Is networking easier virtually? I mean, there's a fear of working remotely that you miss out on, you know, some of those water cooler moments and some of those after office activities and stuff. But how can you use maybe social media to network easier when you work remotely?
Well, using social media is really a mixed bag. In some ways, it's easier, and in some ways, there are some dangers. Obviously, there's lots of platforms like LinkedIn. This WorkSnug is a really neat platform. So there are lots of things that you can use to help network both inside and outside your companies. Even things like instant messaging are great ways to pop in kind of to someone's office in a non-intrusive way and say, mm-hmm. hey, do you have a minute? I'd like to get your opinion. So there's lots of great aspects of it. I think the challenges are, again, related to that issue of choosing how we appear. So I'm very careful. LinkedIn is professional and Facebook is personal. And so my boss I'm not a friend of my boss on Facebook. That's just for a different situation. But it is easier to connect with people globally and across the organization. So some things that are easier, but again, I think we have to be really careful about the face we put forward.
Absolutely. I guess part of the issue is adding context to those social media interactions. So, I mean, tone is something that is sometimes lost in those kind of interactions. So, I mean, if you're around someone in the office and people know perhaps what your sense of humor is like or your kind of habits, and then it could be more acceptable. But I think when your reputation is just sometimes text-based alone, you can run the risk of being misunderstood.
Yes. And that can really damage relationships. And one of the things that we've learned from our work is that things like conflicts and lack of trust, the impacts of those are that people withdraw. So if you're not having a positive relationship, you probably won't know it. People will simply withdraw from you, not respond, not give you their full insight. So when we don't do well, the symptoms are not as easy as just looking at someone's face and realizing, oh my gosh, I've made a blunder. They probably won't tell you. Again, that's the tough part.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be a bit of a disadvantage for virtual workers. You talk also in the book about the virtues of becoming a low maintenance worker. What's the line between being that and being a pushover? There's a lot in your book about the things you must do to make things easier for your boss. But is there a risk of being considered a pushover?
So I guess low maintenance to me means that you do not require a lot of support, that you can find help for yourself, that when you have questions or needs, you come to your leader with suggestions of what you need. So your leader doesn't have to worry about you. That's really kind of how I define low maintenance. I think there is a danger of becoming a pushover, meaning, and I would define that as you're becoming exploited because your leader doesn't really know how much time it takes you to accomplish things, may not even understand what else is on your plate if you're working on a variety of virtual teams that they're not involved on. So I think there is a bit of a danger of that. And so I spend a lot of time in the book talking about how to keep your boss informed about what's on your plate, the successes that you're having. Sometimes you might have to push for priorities. And if your leader is just dumping more and more, it will be important probably to have a conversation around, okay, so what of the items I have are the most important priorities? So it's about building a relationship so that you have some transparency and your leader feels comfortable and that you can push back when you simply can't handle everything asked. It's a little bit tricky. It starts with that positive relationship. And again, I guess going back to the win-win, so that your leader knows the reason you're hesitant to take on a new project is not because you don't want to work, but because your other projects may suffer. Again, it's back to that win-win philosophy, which you and your boss both need to agree on.
That's really interesting. I mean, we're talking here about being low maintenance or maybe being considered a pushover and building a kind of healthy win-win relationship. It sounds a lot like advice that would work outside of the workplace. You know, have you ever thought about writing a self-help book, Carmela? I think it would be a big success.
Well, thank you. I do read a lot of self-help books. That's probably in my brain.
I think it's really useful advice. I think, like relationships outside of work, sometimes it's best to pick up the phone rather than send an email or send a text. Like, could you give us some examples of when that might be a good time, when email is maybe not the best way to resolve a conflict or an issue you've got at work?
Oh, sure. There are actually a lot of kind of little rules of thumb that we have. So one of the fun ones is if you have three emails have passed between you and me and the issue is still not clear, mm-hmm. to pick up the phone. If you're 10 or 12 emails, no, what I meant to say was, but you didn't quite understand. After the third email, if the conversation is not clear, pick up the phone. The email is our least rich form of communication. So at least after three emails, pick up the phone. Also, if there's anything that you feel might be uncomfortable or might be perceived in a way that is not going to be beneficial for them or you, I know that when I'm typing, if I end up and I'm about at the fourth or the fifth paragraph of an email and I'm struggling a little bit about how to express it exactly in an email, that's a good trigger for me that perhaps I should just have a phone call about that.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. As well as normal things like if you're giving feedback.
Sure.
On performance, that kind of thing, or if you're asking for help, those kinds of things are always best via voicemail.
Yeah, you have a better chance of properly conveying your tone, I think, over the phone than over email. I mean, how important is it to have the right kit to do that? I mean, sometimes using video is good because you get some visual clues as to how the other person on the call is feeling or emoting or how they're reacting to certain things. I guess also over the phone, a good quality line is pretty crucial, right?
Yes, it's actually very crucial. I want to go back to your comment about video, Skyping, whatever, things mm-hmm. like that. I think that's great. One of my hints is always dress professionally from the waist up because you may actually be communicating things you don't want to communicate if you appear to your boss a little less professional just based on your view. So it's also important to be aware of our appearance when we're working virtually. But I am I'm very much an auditory learner, so it may be that this is more important to me, but I think that having a really good quality headset, and that doesn't mean it's expensive, just needs to be good quality, is absolutely critical when you are talking on the phone. Speaker phones are, not only might they pick up your dog barking mm-hmm. or your child or something happening in the background that, again, might make you appear less professional, but you hear better and you also sound warmer and more friendly. And that can operate on a subconscious level. You want people to see you as warm and friendly and approachable. And it's funny, but a good quality headset will make a difference in how you appear around warmth, personal warmth.
I think so, absolutely. I mean, one of my real bugbears is when I'm on the phone with someone and I can really tell that they're not exactly listening, and I can sometimes hear them checking their email or something. That's kind of irritating. That's definitely a thing to avoid, right?
Oh, that's a tremendous thing. I was just on the phone about an hour ago interviewing some people, and I let them know, I'm interviewing you and I'm going to be typing on the phone, but I'm not doing my email. I'm taking notes of our conversation. So I definitely let people, if I need to be typing anything because I'm taking notes, to make sure, because that's a huge trust breaker, to feel like people are not paying attention to you. And they can hear it in your voice if you're not paying attention. You've probably heard of that research from the London Institute of Psychiatry about how it lowers our functional IQ to be multitasking while we're on the phone. So it's pretty obvious that when your brain is not engaged, people can hear it in your tone.
Sorry, Carmelo, an email's just come in. Joking, my emails are closed. I'm not checking my email at all.
Mine are too.
Some of your other advice in the book is about marketing yourself to your boss as capable and successful. How can you do that without appearing too conceited?
Well, one of the things that's important to recognize is that you are the only one who knows how smart and how productive you are. Your leader, your boss, has a lot going on, and you are not the center of your boss's universe. So particularly if you're striving to be low maintenance, they're not going to be thinking about you. You want your leader to feel good about their hire, right? Aren't they pleased that they hired you? You want them to feel good about your productivity. Letting them know how productive you are really validates their wisdom in hiring you. So you want to make sure that they continue to feel good about your relationship. So letting your leader know what you are succeeding in, the projects that you're working on, being transparent, all of that helps you from your standpoint, but it also helps your boss feel connected, possibly handle any questions they might get from their boss. And I guess my husband taught me this, the best defense is a good offense. Mm-hmm. So instead of being asked what you're doing, it's better to give briefings in advance. This is what I'm going to be working on. This is what I've been able to be successful. The issue of being conceited or sharing things that aren't true, that's when you'll really get in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's only kind, though, to let your boss know what you're doing. They want you to be successful. It can be a bit uncomfortable, but it will make them feel better and make you more successful. So it may just be a skill we need to develop.
And it sounds, Carmelo, like another win-win. It's been lovely talking to you, and thank you for all the wonderful advice.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Wired but disconnected.
Well, thanks again to Carmela Suthers. Her book's called Managing Your Virtual Boss, 140 Ways to Make the Virtual Organization Work for You. And remember to check out our blog at worksnug.com for more tips on mobile working in the modern enterprise. And thank you for listening. Snug Sound is produced by Worksnug in association with Plantronics, simply smarter communications. Find out more at plantronics.com.